Welcome back to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your show host, Randy Fine. Fine Time for Healing is a place where your physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being are all that matter. So put your feet up, relax, and enjoy today's show. Today we have with us Stephen Chong, M. Masters of Education. He's a highly sought-after professional development coach, keynote speaker, and author. And he shares his passion for life with everyone that he meets. Over the past 25 years, he has provided guidance and motivation to countless people through his inspirational messages and ability to bring the best out of people, out in people. Stephen's wise observations of modern work and personal life will give you insight into how to realize your highest potential through a rich and fulfilling life. But that's not all. Today, we're going to be talking about an experience that Stephen had that you won't believe. He talks about it in his book, The Afterlife, A Journey to Now You Know What Will Happen. This is a phenomenal story. I read the book. You see my flags, right? Welcome, Stephen. It's so good to have you.
Hi, Randy. Thank you very much for having me. And I'll have to live up to that introduction.
That's okay. That's okay. You deserve it. Okay. So tell us about this story. So how did this come about? I know you had an accident. Tell us what the accident was.
Yeah. Randy, about 3 years ago, and as you do when you get on the other side of 60, you climb on roofs and clean out gutters. but the ladder slipped and I've fallen 5 meters and hit the ground, gone through all these, God, we've got louver windows, and fallen through all these windows, landed hard on the ground, and I fractured my neck. And at that time, luckily my wife was around on the morning. Now, we're very remote here, so there's no one else around. So wow. I'd probably still be there if the gods hadn't decided that she was to be there on the morning. But here we stand. But and all is well. Thank the universe for I'm still very functional. Everything works. Through the course of the rehabilitation, 3 or 4 months, and I'm not much good for anything except lying on a couch, I had then the revelations were saying, but I had the title, this title going through my head, and I knew what it was, and I said to the universe, leave me alone. I'm done, right? I'm retiring. I want to plant vegetables in the garden. Eventually I've said, okay, you want me to write this thing, whatever it is, you the universe have to show me, because the afterlife, what do I know? I know nothing, not there, maybe not even going there, I don't know. But I bought into the process, said, okay, I'll write this thing. But I had no character, no storyboard, no nothing. But then I've sat to write, and it was like an epiphany. I saw the like it's all up in heaven, and I saw the colors and heard the music and the dialogue. So I just started to write, and it was like taking dictation. That's the way it happened.
So do you think that you experienced that when you were maybe sleeping and you traveled? So, or was this memories of past lives, or
no?
You don't know. What do you think it was?
No, not at all, Randy. No, this is to me it was a total gift, and I had to trust, ultimate trust, that I knew that I would be given, when I sat to write, I would be given whatever it is that they wanted to show me. I knew that every time, and there was no doubt about that. But for me, it was the crux of the experience of falling off that roof, this, call it a spiritual awakening experience or near-death experience, whatever we want to call it. But what it did was to realign me to a specific purpose. So I'd shut down. I said, life, I'm just retired. Now leave me alone. Sorry, Stephen, you can't do that. Here's the realignment. And with that realignment, the second thing I understand these experiences do is that they imbue you with, let's call it superpowers, powers that you didn't know, skills, talents that you didn't know you had. So the universe says, I will redirect you, and I will give you these powers, if you will, skills, whatever, to show you what to do and how to manifest. And that's exactly the way it happened.
Now, ever since you completed the writing of this book, are you still getting information, or was it specifically for the writing of this book?
I've got to tell you something really interesting. You know, when you write a book and you read it 100 times, you edit it and stuff, and there's about 3 or 4 months after the writing had finished, and it's like the little voices in your head speaking to you again, saying, Stephen, you've missed something. Read it again. And so I did. And remember, this is about 101 times that I've read.
I write books, so believe me, I get
you did it.
Oh my gosh, that's the hard part. Oh. Huh?
But what I found were these, and what I've called were these laws of heaven and earth. So imbued in the text, and I found 15 of them, laws of heaven and earth that were so profound. And they help make life a better place. So with these laws, you bring them into one's life, which I've done,
okay. And
it just changes your whole perspective on how life unfolds for itself. So there was more, even after the writing process and going through all and learning and seeing all of the things that I did, there was still more.
Still more.
These laws of heaven and earth were quite profound.
Can you share with us these laws?
Ah, okay. Oh, yes, I can. Well, let me see. I've got them here.
Okay.
I'll give you a couple. See how we go.
Okay.
What you have cause to affect in your fellow man is what declares your place in heaven. What you've caused to affect in your fellow man is what declares your place in heaven. We can explore that a bit further later on, but here's another one. Sins in heaven imposed by others are not those that need to be borne by the self.
Say that again. Sins in heaven.
Pretty cool, huh?
Right.
And these laws come out, you know, again, they were embedded in the text that I saw and wrote about.
Okay. So say that again. Sins, say it again.
Sins in heaven imposed by others are not those that need to be borne by the self. So if I understand, so if I do bad things to you that cause you malady or illness or deformity of spirit, and I'll tell you about that, what I saw later on, the Great Colosseum, where these things are relieved. But if I do those things to you, you do not bear the consequences of those actions. You are relieved from those burdens.
Okay.
So if let's think of a, make up an example. So if I gave you a bad drug or something that caused you a deformity of illness and spirit and stuff, you are relieved of those burdens in the heavenly realms.
Okay.
But me, on the other hand, because I did that to you, I caused that to you or for you, I would bear the consequences of those sins, if you will.
I got you.
That's how I understand it.
I got you. Yeah, I understand. So what was interesting? Well, there was a lot interesting about the story, but there's two stories that are side by side, and eventually they join together. One is you, or this What was his
Was
name? Akshar.
the Athar was the main character, yes. Yeah.
And then there's the bishop. And
Correct.
what's really
Yes.
interesting about this is something that I've always believed, I've always known. I don't know how I knew it, but the bishop went there holier than thou, thinking he has spent his entire life speaking God's word.
Yes.
And what he found out was that he wasn't supposed to be doing that because nobody speaks God's word, right?
There you go.
Except God. And
Yes.
that he was falsely representing himself.
Yes.
But things had happened under his watch that shouldn't have happened. And so
yes.
he had a lot of reckoning to do. He had a lot to deal with.
Yes.
Yes. When he discovered really what life was about and how he had been mishandling.
You've got it. You've got it. Absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
And that,
right.
That what you're describing so very well there is another of the laws. One of the other laws is the in heaven, the emperor wears no clothes. So whether you've been king or prince or a bishop, or it doesn't matter. It is what you have caused in your fellow man that determines your place in heaven. And through that life review, which we can speak about, you are confronted with the mirror of that reflection of what you've done and feel what you've caused to another. That's a part of the life review process, as I understand it.
You know, people often ask me, since I deal almost exclusively with victims of narcissistic abuse or survivors of narcissistic abuse, they say, you know, the narcissist never seems to get punished. The narcissist never pays for what they do here. Are they ever going to pay? And I say, I always tell them, because I've learned a lot about the afterlife, when they cross over and they have their life review, they're going to have to experience everything they've done to other people.
Absolutely.
That's
yes.
when they pay. And ultimately, our lives here on earth are very brief, but our lives in this as a soul in the spirit world are eternal.
Yes.
So it's really what happens there, not what happens here.
You've
that
got it.
Counts, right?
That's it. Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Right.
Now, without giving too much away for our listeners, do you recall in the book towards the end, I think there was a soul that had come out of the mist, and she is dressed in the brown Hessian, like dark colours. We're jumping ahead, perhaps that listeners perhaps might be able to follow, but she then come out of those mists, that purgatory, and tried to go up into the higher heavenly realms, where those dressed in finer garb were able to access. But when one comes through these mists after the life review, there is a pathway that you have to follow. No choice. It's the road that's made in the heavenly realms that you've caused to affect, and that's where you have to go. I would see that soul, that character, having quite a strong narcissistic personality, because they thought they were better than themselves and what they had done was all according to this sense of the divine. But sorry, ma'am, sorry, Jack, that doesn't work that way. You have to follow the pathway that you've created because of what you've caused to affect in other people.
So we hear a lot about what it feels like, or the experience of crossing over to the other side, what you see when you get there. Your story is very different. It doesn't really go through the tunnel and the whole thing like that. You're there. You are there. The whole story is you being there.
Yes.
And so do you believe, and this is kind of a silly question because I know that you do, but do you believe that this is absolutely truth of what yes, we can expect.
Yes, absolutely, Randy. But you know, the interesting thing is, yes, I believe, you know, because I saw something, and it was, and now I have this gift of knowledge of what I was shown. But it's more than that. And let me tell you how it's worked in the past month. About a month ago, I lost my beautiful mother. She was an angelic being, and you know, we miss her dearly. But the grief as a consequence of writing the book and the knowledge that was gained, it's now become experiential. So I know where she's gone, up into the higher realms. I know where to find her in the heart, because the love connection, the bridge, is still there. But I know she continually works to favor if I listen to her sage guidance. So whilst the grief is there for the loss, it's not a grief that's debilitating. It's a grief that's empowering. It says, Stephen, I'm there. Access me anytime. I will help you and I will guide you. Thank you. So it doesn't sort of, you're not caught, you know, curled up in a ball thinking, oh, I miss my mum. No, not at all.
You know, she's alive and well, just in a different realm.
Absolutely. And not just the lower realm, one of those higher levels.
One of those higher levels.
Yeah.
It's incredible. You talk about, you know, these buildings with these columns and things like that. I did a lot of reading of Sylvia Brown. Sylvia Brown wrote many books. She was a medium and she had a spirit guide. And she wrote many books about what she would go to the other side and experience these things. Mm-hmm. She would talk about these buildings, these halls of learning and halls of wisdom and and that kind of thing. So we're not up there playing harps and floating on clouds, are we?
No. Well, you described them very well. There was so much, and the buildings that I saw, there was quite a number of them, but they weren't like just regular houses. These are, like, if you can imagine Greco-Roman type architecture, beautiful marble, alabaster, that type of magnificence. Yeah, it was very vivid. Yeah. Maybe would you like me to describe that the Colosseum? Do you remember the Colosseum?
Yes, describe that.
Yeah. So, yeah, remember, I'm walking with it and seeing through Athar's eyes, and there's a spirit guide with me, and we approach this huge edifice. If you can imagine the Roman Colosseum, similar to that, but complete. And it's full of these souls have been summoned, these bells summon all of these souls around to come and be part of this Colosseum. And the colors and they were magnificent. And they're chanting, they're doing the Om sound. So this is reverberating around this magnificent chamber. And in the middle of the arena were these repose lounges. And I felt like I'm sitting in the audience.
Right.
You know, what is this? And in come these seraphim. And each seraph has got a soul in their charge. And the soul is quite decrepit, got melodies and deformities and things. And so each seraph takes their charge and places them on these lounge chairs, these repose lounge chairs, and the lounge chairs kind of enfolds them like a beautiful blanket in winter. Okay, I'm just writing what I'm seeing. And in comes this beautiful angelic being robed in these magnet colored white gold shimmering and this the angel stands in the middle and he raises his hands and he starts to weave this magnetic ball of energy. and he's taking the energy from all the souls in the arena. And he forms it, and it's just like a spinning ball. And from the ball shoots out these laser lights of energy, I guess, and into each soul. And then when this angelic being, he's finished and he folds the energy in and he leaves, I'm watching all of this. And then each soul that was on the repose lounge was totally healed, totally reformed, relieved of their burdens.
Wow.
And so, and that's, and then I asked like the guide who was with me, I said, like, what is this? And it was described, and like we mentioned before, so sins imposed, and where that law come from, sins imposed by others are not born by the self. So that was it doesn't relieve you from the sins that you caused or you did, the bad things, put it that way, but what other people caused to affect in you, you are relieved from, and then you move forward.
Now, you saw these as physical issues.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that they were not really all physical issues, but maybe emotional or, you know, suffering that they've experienced through life? So
that's a very good I'd actually not pick that up. I'd always kind of considered that, so if, you know, like a physical thing, but I'm sure it's you've got that spot
it can't just be you know, physical deformities. It has to be maybe deformities of the you know,
emotional,
issues.
You've got that exactly right. That's to be sure is exactly, the case. So relief of all that emotional trauma and stress and whatever it is that they've caused, it's got to be the case. Yeah,
and then they're free.
Then they're free. Free
now,
of that,
some of us cross over and we don't need that. We just enter into the realm and we're souls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, what I saw very vividly was these mists, you know, and I guess I could only call them mists because that's what I was like, these big rolling mists, and these, and I guess it's, well, not I guess, it's the purgatory where you're in these mists to do your life review.
Okay.
And then consequential of the life review, you exit these mists. This is just what I saw. And some souls were coming through robed in this neck to toe, like beautiful robes. But the colors, some of the colors of the souls that come through were beautiful, beautiful gold, white, you know, flashes of all colors of 10 times the 7 colors of the rainbow. But there were others that were dressed in hessian, dark, and those, the colors of the robes designated the pathway one would then follow, unique pathway that soul then had to follow. So those souls dressed in beautiful gold, white, obviously went up to the higher levels, but the ones in the dark colors had to descend into lower nether type regions. Mm-hmm. But that pathway was uniquely yours. A soul could not, by choice, if they were dressed in hessian whatever, they couldn't go up to the higher realms. It wasn't permitted. You had, you know, there was a pathway specifically designated for your the place that you had to go.
So this is what you describe as purgatory. And is it what is what we think of as hell? Is it a terrible place?
Oh, that's very interesting, Randy. There, I got taken to a place I called the Nether Regions, and if I could do my best, it was kind of horrible. But I'll do my best to describe. Now, remember, I'm seeing through this character's eyes and I've got a guide with me, the master soul.
Right.
And we go through this like an area where a bushfire had occurred. Yes, all ash and burnt things, and the smell, you know, it was so vivid. And so we go through this area and enter this huge portal. And I'm like, wow. So what, and what I saw in entering this portal were these spinning vortices, vortices of power. And that in these vortices were trapped, these souls were trapped in there.
Wow.
And some of them were trying to clamber out, but they were being pulled back by others in these vortex,
wow.
in the vortex. And I remember I turned to the guy and go, like, what is this? And what was described for me is this is not the judgment of heaven. So you've been a bad person, you've got to suffer this hell. That wasn't the case. These souls are entrapped by choice. And my understanding of it is, it's like if you consider the seven deadly sins, lust, envy, greed, wrath, sloth, and I can't remember the last one, that have trapped the soul within. Let's take lust, for example. So you're trapped in this, the power of that sin. Then you, until one can, I don't know what the word, repent, let go of that and say, oh, sorry, I want to get out of here. Until one does that, release that burden of choice, then what I saw were these angelic beings each standing around each vortex. And again, I said, what is this? Who are they? And each angelic being is waiting. They're angels in waiting, waiting for the soul to release themselves from their burden of choice. And then they were taken away to be nurtured by the heavenly angels, by the Father.
Do they all resolve this?
I didn't see that, no. I didn't stay there. I tried not to stay there very long.
It was upsetting.
If that image that I saw, if that does not turn one away from errant paths, to know that you could be trapped within those, that power of choice, not power of judgment.
Wow.
If that doesn't turn one away from that errant pathway, I don't know what is, what will.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow, that is really frightening.
It was very powerful, huh?
That's really frightening.
Yeah.
So eventually, how do they know that they need to resolve this? How do they know that they need to repent and heal that aspect of themselves?
Well, my understanding of that area is it's a purification of the soul. So the soul needs to be purified of its burdens of choice. Mm-hmm. And once so purified, they, I guess, get to a point, okay, I'm done. I'm out of here. I release those burdens, mm-hmm. and that releases you into the heavenly realms.
So it's a holding. Rest. It's a holding place until you work through your issues.
Yes, you could describe it as that, but pretty close to hell. Descriptions of hell that you never want to get close
wow.
to. Yes,
it was horrible. But again,
horrible. But not. This is not God's wrath. There was none of that. God's this hot. All of this. Let's call it stuff that I saw was all God's love. Nothing was divorced from that love. It was
wow.
there everywhere. So it's not judgment, it's burdens of choice for the soul to release himself from.
And what did you come to understand about God?
Ever present.
Ever present.
In fact, I'll go back to one of the laws, and excuse me, I'll read it to you. Fear not. It's number one law. Fear not. You are never without the love of the Father. And that to me is just so profound. So wherever we are, whatever we do, there's that light, that is always there that we can tune into, to listen to. We are so unburdened. Don't be afraid. We can tap into that at all times.
So you think there's that God is one entity?
Well, yes, no doubt about that.
One
yes.
entity.
One entity. And it's, and he's that, that light, that spark, that pilot light inside, that once we open up the doors, that light shines ever brightly. And the more we listen and be aware of that light, the more profound life becomes. That's, I mean, all this, what I've, that's the principle thing that I've learned from the writing of this book, to tap in, we can tap into that ever-present light, absolutely.
So do we, I think at some point, the bishop crosses, was it you that had the problem with the bishop and the, okay, so it was you, okay. All right.
Yes.
So you got to work out with an abuser,
yes,
what had happened to you.
Yes. And yes, isn't that interesting? Well, and just background for your listeners, that Athar in life was abused under the auspices of the clergy, under the church.
Right.
And by virtue of the pain and the shame and the guilt and anger that he felt, he was trapped in this purgatory and he couldn't get out.
Okay.
He couldn't see the light that was there. And it wasn't until he met up with the bishop who under the bishop's care, Athar was abused. So they had to forgive one another, and forgiveness was the key. So forgiveness was the key that released them both from this state of purgatory that enabled them to move into the heavenly realms.
So one thing I've always understood, or I've heard many times, is that we create our reality in that realm. So we can create the home we live in, we can create the environment that we live in, we can, whatever we see or want, that's what we create. Is this true?
Oh, that's absolute. Yes, that's exactly what I saw through a number of levels and areas that you know I was taken to. Yes, you create your own reality. Yes. And the process of, see, evolution doesn't stop through the heavenly realms. We continue to evolve up through the levels. And it is an acknowledgement that we are able to do that. Because I remember distinctly, one of them, don't know what part of the book, I can't remember, but I was told that souls can stay at a particular level and the Father's very happy. You know, the Heavenly Father's, okay, Stephen, you can stay there. You know, you've got work to do, there's service to provide to others. However, if you wish to continue to evolve through the heavenly realms, here's the guide, here's the answers, here's the support, so one can continue to evolve through the heavenly realms.
Okay.
The interesting thing I saw and now understand is, remember we were talking about the robes and the colors when you come through the mist. So those robes designate the pathway you follow. We talked about that. But other souls are able to sit, look at the colors of the robes and know exactly what you need. So support and love that you need to evolve, to progress, to go wherever, can be seen by others through the colors of those robes.
Interesting. So yeah. What is the highest realm? What happens when we get to the highest realm?
Oh, I've got to tell you, it's very interesting. Because right at the, I'll give away a little bit of the book, but right at the end, Athar and the bishop get taken up. And it's like there was this master soul. And take a bit of backstory with that. Well, I met this master soul a couple of times through the writing. And unlike other characters in the book, because other characters, I would ask, what's this person's name? And instantly I would have the name, so I would know it. But this master soul, I remember asking three times, what's your name? Nothing, got nothing. So, so I had, in the book, I've just had to call him the master because that's I had no name. But this master soul was he like took the two characters, me and the bishop, up through these levels, up you know, like going up through clouds and up into higher realms. And it eventually got to a point where we're like standing on top of a mountaintop and looking out over all these colors and the I can even see it now in my mind. What I, and I'm not even sure that I did it justice in the book. I did my best, but it's beautiful colors like a matrix, and the music, the beautiful music I heard in my head. Oh, and it, you know, that's what the master and the master said. This is the matrix. This is
And this
where
is where
you
you
like your play.
exist. This is where you will
This is where you
continue.
exist. This is where you are. Yeah. That's what I, the beauty of what I saw.
So phenomenal.
Amazing. I mean, I couldn't even have made this, even if I was on drugs and on had drunk too much wine.
Don't think you could have. I mean, it was an incredible story to read.
Thank you.
And you would have had to be I don't even know how you would have written these stories and made them up. I really don't know.
Yeah.
That
It
would have
was a
been
great gift.
impossible. Did you learn about what happens to people who, I would imagine that suicide, people who commit suicide, did you learn anything about that?
Only through what I saw through Athar's character, Randy, that his guilt and the shame and the anger that he felt was what entrapped him in this purgatory. That was what kept him there. And I don't know if you remember in the early part of the book, even when he was trapped in this decrepit home that he called his own and created for himself, there was a light, a beam of light that he could not see, but it was there. And to me, that light was the light of the Heavenly Father saying, just look to the light. Here I am, and you'll be released. But it wasn't until that was, as we mentioned before, it was forgiveness, forgiveness of self, forgiveness of others that perpetrated. So that forgiveness enabled the key to turn that unlocked his that house that he was stuck in, and it opened the door to the heavenly realms.
Now, you also saw people who were actually in the physical realm who were dreaming and who appeared there, right?
Yes, isn't that interesting? Yeah, that
So they
was
traveled while they were sleeping and they were in that.
yes, I called that the abode of reunion. And what I saw was remember, we're standing, we, Athara and this angelic guide, we're standing on a hilltop and looking down on this expanse, this dale of brass. And there's all these souls around, and they're all in commune with one another. And to the side were the mists, the grey mists. And across them, over them, not through the mists, over the mists were these silver cords, silver chains. And they're connected to some of the souls there. I go like, what is this? And what was described and explained to me is that when we're asleep, when you know, for us that on Earth, when we're asleep, the soul is able to transit across to this area and meet up with other souls in the heavenly realm that are there to guide and help us. And love is the bridge. That silver cord is the bridge of love. So if you have a parent or even a child or a soul that you love dearly, one is able to connect with that. So as we sleep, we're able to connect with that soul, and that soul will give us guidance, help, advice as to whatever dilemmas we are perplexed with at that time.
And we have no memory of that once do we?
Isn't that, no, well, do you, it, the way I understand it, you know, sometimes when, like, if we go to sleep with a dilemma or a problem, as often is the case, and we wake up in the middle of the night or in the morning and we go, oh, I've got it. I've got the answer. That, to me, there is it what's is. Happened. That, there it is. So that we've gone over, got the answer, and been able to remember or recall some or all of what's been said. So the answer was given in okay. that time. That's my understanding of it.
That is so interesting. And at what point what motivates a soul to want to incarnate into a physical body again? Did you learn that?
That's a good question. I didn't learn that. No, and people have asked me about reincarnation, but I'm a believer in reincarnation, but right. I did not see any of that through the course of the writings. No, okay. There were guardian angels that I saw come down and who are here to help right. us right. that I learned about.
Okay.
But the process of reincarnation wasn't a part of the journey that I experienced. So I can't say with any sense of surety exactly what happens.
Right. So as far as the guardian angels and the spirit guides or whatever, I often say to people when they're going through hard times and they feel very alone, I say, you're not alone, because there's no way that we would be sent down here into this very difficult realm
yes.
of learning and growing and understanding without some guidance with us.
Yes.
So
yes.
we all come here and are assigned guides and angels.
Correct. That's exactly how I understand it. And I got taken in one of the schools that I got taken into. And remember, this is not just a high school. This is a building of magnificence. I got taken in with the guardian angel. And there's all these rooms like a lecture theatre there, if you can picture. And I go, what is this? And it was a school where souls are trained to be guardian angels, taught by master souls. You're designated because of your particular skills to become a guardian angel, and that this is where they were taught, and then had the ability to come down and be with us all the time, no separation. We just need to call on them,
right,
to know that they are there and to help us on the way. Everyone, you were right what you said. Everyone has this guardian angel.
We all, Absolutely. We're not here alone. We are not
No.
here alone.
No,
and it's a shame that we have to feel like that, but that's why it's so important to talk about this. This experience was so, so, what a gift. Oh my gosh.
Extraordinary.
Why was it given to you?
Well, therein lies a very good question. I'm just a regular dude. And as I say, I shut down from, ready to retire and plant tomatoes in the garden. So, but great gift, and I'm one that I'm forever thankful. Has been and still ongoing is a beautiful process, just from what I've learned from the writing
right.
process. Knowledge, both knowledge of and experience of, which I described before.
Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful. And the land is very much like Earth, but it's just more beautiful.
That's a good question. I saw, say, the architecture was Greco-Roman and totally magnificent. But I saw trees and dales and streams and things like that. It might be that, we create our own reality.
Right.
I'm not sure about that, but that's exactly what I saw and did my best to describe.
And there were birds and...
Yeah, absolutely. I saw all that. But interesting.
Did you see pets? Any pets?
No, I didn't. No, I can't say that I did. But their birds, yes, I saw. But what I understand, and I've described it as like you walk, but its thought is powerful in the heavenly realms, and it's instantaneous. So if I wanted to be, if I knew I had to be with somebody, it was like a flash. I've described it as walking. Let's go somewhere. But souls, they were tuned into others, and thought was a very powerful process. And you could be somewhere else or with someone else just through the power of
Our thought.
that thought. Amazing.
I'm completely mesmerized by this story. I mean, this is incredible, and what a gift that you got to experience this. So, do you have a feeling like anything else is coming to you?
Now, that's a very good question. And the answer is yes. I can't tell you much because I don't know very much. But I mentioned before the very connected to my beautiful mother. And there's that little pounding in the head that says, Stephen, I'm going to tell you more.
There's more.
Because I know she's up in the higher realms through the beauty of the work that she did. So, but I know no more than that. I know at some, I mean, we even last, as late as last Sunday, we had a wake and big ceremony from my mum. So that's still very vivid. But I'm pretty sure in the next coming period, there'll be a download
There's more.
somewhere.
There's
So,
more.
but I know
You
no
don't know
more.
what it is, but you
I
just
don't know
have a
where it's
feeling,
at.
right?
We'll see
I
what it
can't
says on it.
imagine that this would be it.
No, I don't think so. Yeah.
There's got to be
Yeah,
more.
I'm pretty sure you're exactly right. There's more to come, but that's as much as I know and can say.
Right. Well, you have to let us know.
I will,
So,
absolutely.
it's been phenomenal talking to you today. So, we're talking about your book, The Afterlife. A journey to now you know what will happen. You gave
Yeah,
us
you got it.
the map, the visual of what we can expect when we cross over. It's important, I think, that we understand this so that we know that living a virtuous life is not wasted, because sometimes in this world, it doesn't seem to get rewarded at times. But
Yes,
I
I
think
think
it's important to know that ultimately it is highly rewarded.
and Randy, I think you're exactly right that and two aspects that stand out for me is, yes, there's a description of what happens in heaven, but ultimately the key for the book, I believe, is that one can make life a better place, to turn, if need be, turn away from errant paths, or to connect with one's divine purpose, to say, okay, whatever time I have left, I'm on this pathway, let's go. That's the real benefit of learning about the afterlife, to make life a better place.
I mean, this is something that I've embraced for a long time, and it keeps me going. I have no fear of the afterlife. I have no fear of death, because I know it's going to be marvelous. But I know I want to live my life so that I can be in the best possible place and keep advancing.
There you go. And ultimately, the gifts that you give to others come back to you in service to others.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So tell us quickly about what you do. So you've retired from your work that you were
Yes, I have,
doing.
Randy. Yeah,
Okay.
that's been an experience of the past month. It said, Stephen, just give up all this other stuff that's not important, and just go and talk to nice people on podcasts and write more books and things. Yeah.
That's great.
So
That's great.
that's what I do. Yeah.
Well, I feel honored to have had you and to
Thank you,
have,
Randy.
had you share this story with me.
Beautiful.
So
Thank you
for
for that.
anybody that is really interested in this topic, this is such a cool, this, it's a great book. It's a great storyline. It will keep you, It'll keep you going. Keep you going. You'll want to read more and more and more. It's very, very interesting. So you did a great job
Actually.
with the writing of it. Thank you for being the person that you are. These gifts are given to very special people because only people who I think spirit knows is going to use them correctly.
Thank you, Randy. Much appreciated.
So you were somebody that they really believed would use this in the right, in the best way possible.
I'll try to live up to those expectations. Thank you.
So thanks again. From Australia, we had to kind of find a time. It's 6 a.m. in Australia and it's 4 p.m. here in the East Coast of the United States. And we had to figure out a time that would work for both of us. So Stephen, go take a nap. Go back to sleep. Go
I'll
back
go
to
back
sleep.
to
Go back to sleep. It's early, I know. And thanks
bed.
again. It's been wonderful. Appreciate
Cheers,
it.
Randy. Much appreciated.
Okay, take care.
Cheers, man. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.